You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
Ah, motherhood. One minute, you're mom of the year.
I love you, Mommy.
Then the next? Not so much. From bath time to bullying, from potty training to puberty, parenting is full of challenges. But one thing is for certain, you are not alone. Welcome to Modern Mom Probs. I'm your host, author, mother, parenting expert, Tara Clark. Join me while we tackle today's modern mom problems.
Welcome back to another episode of Modern Mom Probs. I am your host, Tara Clark. And you know, on Modern Mom Probs, we try to solve the world's modern mom problems. But if we can't, at least we are having fun talking about them. Today's topic is the wisdom and power of teenage girls with Chelsea Gooden. Chelsea Gooden has been an academic tutor and mentor for 16 years, with a particular emphasis on the empowerment of teenage girls. She speaks regularly to audiences about gender justice. She conducts workshops and coaches parents on how to have a better connection with their daughters. Chelsea is the author of the brand new book, Underestimated: The Wisdom and Power of Teenage Girls. Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here.
We just chatted for, I don't even know, 10 minutes talking about all kinds of things, but that's not why we're here today. We are here about you, Chelsea, and your new book, Underestimated: The Wisdom and Power of Teenage Girls. I love it. I myself was once a teenage girl, and so that's why I'm so excited that we're going to get an opportunity to chat about it. So in the meantime, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I have been an academic tutor for teenage girls for about 16 years, and then I also started volunteering my time to mentor girls from underrepresented communities. And over the course of this time, the stories that they would share with me are one-on-one, meaningful moments. I realized how smart they were, how underestimated they were, how people just write them off as emotional and crazy and dramatic, and I realized that I needed to be the microphone for them, a portal for what they want to say to the world. And that's what this book is about.
I'm so glad you wrote it, because I feel like there's really like sort of a hole in as much as like a book like this doesn't exist. And if it does, I have not read it. And so I'm so glad.
Books, you know, about how to, like, for parents on how to parent teenage girls. And certainly there's practical tools in here for parents, but this is a little bit more of like the girls getting their voice, the inside look of what, if they could tell adults what they want to say, this is the book doing that.
And I feel like at that age, I felt very silent. You know, I felt like the world was sort of just like happening around me and I couldn't speak up about things. And is that what you've noticed in your research?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, that's the beginning of the book, is how girls are silenced, and they're silenced by societal fear of them, you know, fear of things, you know, like their big feelings or their sexuality or all these different stereotypes. Everyone loves to slap on them. So many people have been like, well, aren't teenage girls mean? You know, this is the mean girl situation. And I really love to push back on that. And I have a section in there about it. And so there's a lot of ways that girls silence themselves because they don't feel like the world is a safe place for them also.
Yeah. I'm sure you found that, like, as you were sitting there doing the research for this book, and then once you were writing the book, like, how did you get these girls to open up to you, to like be honest?
Yeah, that's what I do. So getting them to open up has a lot to do with, first of all, these are long-standing relationships, many of which I've known girls for over 10 years and been over the course of their life. And this is, you know, working with over 100 girls. So it's different than me just sitting down for one interview with a girl that doesn't know me. There's already a real established trust. So I'm really getting in there in things that they do not tell just a random person that they don't know. And I started seeing so much crossover too. So I also know what questions to ask, because I also know what all the girls are having feelings about. But really, the key to getting a teenage girl to open up is making sure they don't feel judged and shamed. And it has everything to do with approaching them with curiosity, true curiosity in your heart, no agenda of you wanting to teach them something or, you know, get them to do something, because they feel that in 2 seconds and they close off. And having that non-judgmental tone of meeting them exactly where they're at and seeking to understand their thoughts on a topic way before you project your thoughts and feelings into the situation.
I feel like that's useful, not only for, like, obviously your work and what you do as a mentor, but also, like, for parents. Like, everything you just said there was, like, what we as parents can lead in with. You know, we lead in with curiosity. We lead in with mutual respect.
Exactly. So, you know, the book is filled with very practical tools on even the types of questions to use with girls to help them open up for parents, but any adult. But the idea too is that, you know, we all need to heal the inner teenage girl inside of us. And lots of times when a parent does feel a charge about bringing up a topic or having a hard time not being judgy about something, it's more indicative of their own teenage wound that they maybe had during their teenage years. And those totally follow us into adulthood. And so it's a lot about, you know, pointing the finger at ourselves and how we can heal first so that we can approach a girl with that open-hearted curiosity.
That's something that we don't talk about often enough, is healing our own teenage wounds.
Exactly.
Before we become teenage parents.
I hope to do that with this book. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, I've been doing parenting stuff for a really long time now. And, you know, we talk a lot about toddlers, obviously. We talk about reparenting ourselves in order to help our children. But many times I feel like that's geared more towards younger children. And we're not thinking about stepping into the teenage years.
Yeah, it's a completely different developmental stage, your adolescence. And I find that the wounds that happen during this stage, particularly for women, are around people pleasing and perfectionism and self-doubt and making yourself small or being worried about having a big ego and so not speaking up and using your voice as boldly. And it follows into the workplace. You know, it's all the same patterns we see that women struggle with.
Yeah, it's wild. I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because this is it's a new conversation for me. Like I said, I have a lot of people on the show, and we're talking about, not that I'm saying every conversation is the same, because it's not, but this one is, like, definitively different, because, you know, we're talking about teenage girls, and you and I were both at one time teenage girls. And gosh, I have to say, I'm glad I'm no longer a teenage girl, because that was hard. It was a really hard transition going from a child, you know, into a new body, and your body is changing and your mind is changing. And your part of you, like, kind of wants to stay the same as, like, when you were a kid, but, like, you know, that's not an option anymore. But then also part of you wants to grow up and do, like, fancy grown-up things. And so, like, you feel caught, or at least I know I felt caught.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And then mitigating that with just the societal narrative around beauty or body image or what you should be doing. So teenage girls are also silenced just by all the shoulds, you know, of they should say this, they should look like this. And they can't win, right? Like they cannot win at all. They can be too much of that or too much of this, and they know it. And so instead they just fade into their own background of, like, okay, well, I'm going to get criticized if I say this, and really, instead, we could create so much more space for their self-exploration and so much more ease and love and care around them just trying to figure out who they are.
Yes. Yes. I remember I had a teacher in middle school, and I used to walk. So I developed early. I had my period at 10. I had boobs at 10. And I remember that I was the only one that did. And so I stood out like a sore thumb. And I remember I used to hunch my shoulders over to make me look smaller,
right? Just in general. I was also tall. Like the height that I am now is the height that I was then. And then I just stopped growing. I was like the tallest girl. And then I stopped growing. I'm only about 5'4". And so I used to shrink myself to feel smaller. And I remember I had one teacher, her name was Mrs. Caprillion. And she said to me, Tara, be proud of who you are. Put your shoulders back, like take a deep breath and like hold your head up high. You don't have to have this posture and have this behavior your whole life. Like you're a woman now and that's okay. Yeah. And just embrace it.
I love that she said that to you.
And now, you know, years and yeah, I can, what, 30 years later, I could still remember that. And then I remember her name and I even remember where we were. I think we were in the foyer of my school. And no one ever, nobody ever said anything like that to me in my entire life.
Wild.
Be proud.
I mean, and I will say this whole issue of shrinking ourselves physically and mentally and emotionally, it's a huge issue just as it trails into womanhood. And so that's why I'm actually so excited to work with teenage girls and kind of address these things upstream. Because if we actually talk to teenage girls now about this, these small, even subtle ways that you are feel more empowered and can own who you are in the world, then that changes our future too. And that's what gets really exciting. So to me, that's this book is about those empowerment spaces. And we often are so much like girl boss, girl confidence, boss lady. You know, and we're trying to like slap it onto a girl, but it's more subtle. It's subtle things of how we speak about our own body and beauty in front of girls, or how, you know, how we help them navigate self-doubt and the mean voice inside their head. It's more subtle.
Yeah. And like you mentioned about people pleasing, and that was something that until recently, I didn't even have a phrase for it. I didn't have the words for that. But like, of course, that was always something that I did. I always wanted to make my teachers happy. I always wanted to make my parents happy. And only now as an adult woman, am I like, wait a second. It doesn't have to be like that. Like I can take care of myself. I could advocate for myself when I don't feel comfortable doing something. Because like that simply wasn't the case when I was younger.
So, you know, everyone's worried about teenage girls because the CDC report came out that they're struggling with anxiety and depression and so on. And everyone has asked me, what is it? And there's lots of course, different angles, but I tend to say the pressure on girls to be perfect and to be likable, to make sure everyone's pleased around them is the issue. And that is what I hear girls come back to me over and over and over again. It's just like putting other people's needs before their own, making sure everyone's happy before they're happy. And it's, again, really subtle in how they do it. And it can, you know, I can share stories. The book is filled with so many quotes from the girls and their own personal stories of how this shows up in life.
Could you give me a quick story?
Yeah. So like, if you remember Marley, who's 15 and plays, she was like a star volleyball player and she made the varsity team as a freshman. And she was so good at volleyball and everyone just affirmed her. And she was making everyone happy around her for being a star volleyball player. But she was also getting migraines and stomach aches and was stressed out. And I decided one day to ask her, I was like, hey, Marley, do you like playing volleyball? And she looked at me like no one had ever asked her that. And I was like, she's like, well, I like that. I'm good at it. And I'm like, right? Okay, yeah, you're good at it. And I was like, but do you like it? And she's like, well, I like that I bond with my mom about it. Her mom had been a star volleyball player too. And I was just like, wait, are you playing volleyball to make your mom happy or make other people happy? And she looked at me wide-eyed and was like, oh, no. And realized. And so, that was when I asked girls to actually check in with themselves. I say, well, what would bring you a lot of joy? What would please you? And she was like, well, you know, I love to draw fashion sketches in my notebook on the bus ride. And I was like, amazing. Like, you know, there's this sewing class I know on the weekend. Would that interest you? And she's like, oh my gosh, that would be incredible. And so slowly but surely, we brought her mom into the conversation and she quit volleyball. And she started investing all her time in fashion design. And it brought her so much joy. Like the migraines went away, the stomach problems went away, and she became excellent at that as well, right? Everyone's so worried. Like as soon as a girl is good at something, they get so affirmed that they think that's the only thing they can do because, oh my gosh, I found the one thing I'm good at, right? And we're not letting them explore who they are. And you know, fashion, I think, is a good example because so often people dismiss girls' interest in fashion and clothes as just superficial. And that's not how I see it. It's a real expression of their identity and who they want to be in the world. And there are plenty of fashion jobs. I have plenty of girls now who are in their 20s, have incredibly successful jobs in the fashion industry. This is not like some not career path that's viable. It totally is. But parents hear that and they're like, oh no, my girl's interested in something superficial. And I'm like, no, like, let's ask her what she likes to do. What a crazy idea.
How novel that is.
Exactly.
No, I think that that's so important. I think, you know, you started the conversation by saying leading with curiosity. And that is so important because how else do you know to really get to know your child unless you're asking the right questions?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
And I put those types of questions in the back of the book. I have a list that says ways to expand conversations with a teenage girl or any human being. That's what's so interesting about this too, is that the tools I've used with teenage girls, one of the hardest groups to get to open up, can be used with everyone.
Yes. Yes. I want to talk about, I'm totally going off script here because I want to get your input and your opinion on this, is like Taylor Swift is a complete phenomenon, right? There's the Swifties, they're going to the concerts and they're making the friendship bracelets. What did your girls, I'm saying your girls, because you know, your mentees, what's your girls' perspective on Taylor? How do they feel? Do they derive like a sense of pride and like she has all of this power? I'm curious to see what they say.
They love her, yes. And she's considered powerful. And as you know, the last chapter of the book is power. And, you know, teenage girls supporting something actually is not just them supporting Taylor is not a new thing. I write about how teenage girls are behind Beatlemania, right? Like they're the ones that blew up the Beatles. Like yes. They've always been really powerful in what they put their attention and support behind. But yes, Taylor is a woman that really owns who she is and what she's about. And then also is a women supporting women type, which I would say Gen Z is a women supporting women, girls supporting girls. It has changed, thank heaven. And so, you know, our generation of more, you know, there's only one seat at the table at the boardroom for a woman. They're only hiring one woman, which was true back then.
It was.
Made us all compete and give a different tone to things. But that's not how they see their future. And they don't understand the whole demeaning women. And, you know, it's people like Taylor who lead that conversation.
I love that. That makes me so happy. Because women supporting women, I mean, that's everything that I believe in. That's everything I support on my platforms, too. And so it's so beautiful to see, obviously, Gen Z feeling like that and seeing like that in their heroes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I love to call it out and model it and just affirm it like crazy. So, you know, a lot of people focus on social media being mean, and then we can talk about social media. Obviously, there's problematic things.
Sure.
But if you actually look at how they comment on each other's posts, you know, they follow me too. They are amping each other up. Like they're like, you go girl, you look amazing, you're fantastic. Like, you know, tons of exclamation points. They do it on mine. And I'm just like, oh, thanks. You know, like they love to encourage each other in the comments on social media. And the more we give this energy to that idea that they're all tearing each other apart on social media, that I don't think that's a fair assessment at all. And we could actually be highlighting what's going right also on there.
If you're the woman of a certain age, like myself, and occasionally you say, was that a hot flash? Am I too young for hot flashes? I'm not sure what's going on here. Well, then listen up because this ad is for you. Our new sponsor, Winona, is here to help women who are dealing with menopause or perimenopause. You're watching me put my hand up right now. Winona is a collection of OBGYN health professionals who believe that your symptoms are important, real, and deserve to be taken seriously. Phew, thank goodness. Winona is the home for physician-prescribed bioidentical hormone replacement therapy with an easy-to-use network of doctors based out of your state who can make getting started with HRT a breeze. Winona's bioidentical HRT is made from plant-based hormones rather than synthetic ones, so it aligns with your body's natural rhythm to offer relief from hot flashes, weight gain, and other uncomfortable symptoms. 80% of women who use Winona find relief within just 90 days.
Be sure to visit buywinona.com today to start your free visit. With free shipping in the U.S. and the ability to pause or cancel at any time, your path to wellness has zero obligations. So be sure to use my special code, it's modernmom, at buywinona.com for 25% off your first order. That's BYWINONA.com/modernmom.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
Yes, it's true. And I say that, you know, I talk a lot about being in the parenting space. And that's true, you know, within the parenting space as well, is, you know, people often think like, oh, there's so much negativity in social media. And yes, that's true. And so many people are supporting each other. And we're like, rah, rah, go get the book deal, rah, rah, you know, you're on the Today Show, all of those kinds of things, right? And so it's really nice to see, because like when we were in high school, it was not like that. Maybe my high school was different. I don't know. It was not as supportive.
Well, yeah, and of course there's still going to be a mean girl situation here and there. You know, we're all messy humans still. So, but this is what's cool, and I share this in the Friends chapter, is when a girl is kind of getting bullied or is a girl being mean to her, this generation is so much more compassionate and they understand mental health and psychology so much better, which I can address actually how social media has helped with that. But so what will happen is they're telling me the story and I'll often ask her, like, well, what do you think that girl who's being mean to them? I'll be like, what do you think her home life is like? And the girl often knows. She's like, oh, well, you know, her mom's really criticizing, her dad's never around. And I'm like, oh man, do you think that's hard for her? And she's like, yeah, I bet it is hard. And I'm like, do you think maybe she's just being mean because she's hurt herself and in pain herself? And she's like, yeah, she probably is. You know, like they're very compassionate and understanding where their bully might be coming from, of like the psychology behind it. They're so wise about things like that.
They really are. Because my son is the same way. If I ask him something, he'll answer with a very similar comment of like, well, I could see how that would be difficult for them. And I'm like, yes, yes, that's
yes,
amazing.
Good job. Good parenting on your part too.
It's very intentional. So you mentioned social media and psychology. I want to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, here's the deal. Yes, there are problematic things about social media, and there are plenty of people shining a light on that. What I like to shine light on is the fact that it's not going anywhere. It's here to stay. So what do we do from here? And how do we make it actually a potential positive thing in a kid's life, which I have been in the trenches of that happening. So I like to tell people that it exists. There's the world exists. And it has a lot to do with media literacy conversations, which is the adult boring way to say it. But, you know, with girls, it's me asking lots of questions, like watching the same TV show as them, like, and approaching it in a fun way, in a way that's like, what Instagram account is inspiring you lately, you know? And then I follow it too. And then, you know, I have girls sending me TikToks about things like a mother wound, right? You know, things that I know women who didn't address that until their 40s. And here the 16-year-old knows a lot about mother wounds and how she's going to deal with it.
Yes.
Like, yes. This is amazing, right? Or trauma responses. They know all the different trauma responses, and all these, you know, different infographics actually can be really helpful in them pursuing interests that they're into. They're into political stuff. They're into things that aren't just beauty and makeup, you know? And again, I don't mind if they're into beauty and makeup. I used to be kind of judging myself about that. And now I understand that they're just exploring who they are. They're exploring what they want to look like. Instead of just demeaning them or criticizing them or dismissing or minimizing their interests, I like to ask why they're into it. I'm like, okay, what interests you about that? And then on evaluating, you know, beauty standards, I'll often show them, you know, an image that I'm kind of worried about puts out, and I'll be like, what do you think of this girl posting this? You know, what do you think that she wants a lot of likes? Do you think, does that make you feel bad about your body? You know, and we'll kind of talk about it. Cause then I'll incorporate myself. I'll be like, I don't know. I feel kind of weird sometimes, you know, and we actually talk about it. And she's so smart about it. When she knows I'm respecting her thoughts on it and that her, I think her thoughts are smart, she owns it more. She feels trusted. She trusts herself to make healthy and responsible decisions on social media. That's where the magic happens, is an empowerment element to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is their perspective on, let's say, thirst traps or, you know, very thin images of women? You know, we grew up with magazines, right? So we had 17 magazine, YM, whatever other ones. And so the concept of diet culture has sort of always been there. But do you still see that now with the girls in social media?
Yeah. And they're pretty open about it. You know, like we, it's, they're not, everyone's aware that there is a body image issue. Eating disorders are a huge thing I faced in working with girls. And the more that I can engage them in conversation early, we engage girls early on these things so that they can set a foundation of how they are going to frame it for themselves, the better. Whereas otherwise, they're more of a victim to the narrative of it all. And so I'll say, too, these things start so early. And I talk about it in the beauty chapter about how, you know, when we look at a little girl, the first thing most people say to her is, oh my gosh, how cute you are. Look at your pretty dress. And then we see a little boy and we're like, what book are you reading? What sport are you playing? What's your favorite subject in school? You know, we're teaching girls at a young age what their, that their value is tied to their looks. And the average age for a girl to start dieting is 8. Age 8.
No.
So this is way before even social media, right? So,
way.
I, you know, a lot of girls actually talk to me about, and again, I talk about in the chapter, moms, the language they use around their girl, how often a mom is commenting on her own dieting, her own body, insulting her own body in front of her daughter, or her, or obsessing about beauty in front of her daughter. Girls pick that up and they absorb it. And I mean, there's definitely girls that have told me about their moms commenting on their own body. I mean, that's when girls really are not happy about it. But it can be more subtle. It can be pretty innocent of a mom that's just always dieting and the daughter sees that.
Yeah, I think that happens more often than we realize.
Yeah, and I have tons of compassion for parents here, and women are all also just a victim of the same system, right? Like I'm not trying to point a finger at mom, like you've done something horribly. Like, you know, the book is also about a much larger societal conversation about how we could change the system around us to better serve and help women and girls.
Yeah, I was thinking about you and your book when I was at Target the other day. And you see the clothes for little girls, and they have like little tiny shorts with no pockets. And then you have boys' clothes and shorts with like long shorts, tons of pockets, very functional. And it's just wild to see the dichotomy. And from a very early age, like you said, we're complimenting little girls on how pretty they look. Oh, you're such a pretty princess. Versus, you know, with the boys, like, you know, oh, show me how you can climb that tree and show me all of your skills, right? And so it's sort of like skills-based versus aesthetics, or like I said about the clothes, like functionality versus aesthetics.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find with boys too, they just get a lot more room to explore and make mistakes and be messy. You know, no one cares when a boy is a little bit of a mess, right? But a girl, you know, she's had to have it, her game together at a young age. She learns very young that she needs to look good and act nice and be polite and so on. And we don't create, that's back to that perfectionism and people pleasing. We don't create a lot of room for girls to just make a mistake and it not be the end of the world and not absorb into their entire identity and self-worth.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you recommend, and I know the answer to this question because I'm going to say yes. It's like, would you recommend this book also to parents of sons to get a better understanding into the psyche of teenage girls?
Sure, of course. Well, you know, I talk about too, you know, you brought up thirst traps and the sexuality and girls wearing sexy outfits and that type of thing. That is in my sexuality chapter. And a big premise of that chapter is actually, instead of us putting all the onus and blame and judgment on girls, we should be focusing on boys in a big, big way. Like, for some reason, girls are responsible with their clothes to manage boys' inclinations? That's so messed up. And so, how do we refocus back on boys? And I'm on the board of a nonprofit called A Call to Men, which is all about how do we address this with boys, what a healthy masculinity is. And I also referenced in there, only 11 states require that we teach consent in our sex education curriculum. And I mean,
really? What?
Yeah, and of course, if we're not teaching boys consent, that would explain a sexual assault epidemic that we face in college campuses. And, I know girls, though, that take self-defense classes in school. I know more girls in a self-defense class than a boy learning consent in school, right?
That breaks my heart. It breaks my heart.
I know. And so I am trying to make sure that we're addressing so many of these issues with boys too. And again, on the sexuality front, boys are permissioned to, they're allowed in the media to seek pleasure. And this is a positive, fun thing for them. Whereas girls, it's shame and judgment at every turn. They can't do anything right. And there's a lot of the chapter is what does a safe space look like for a girl to explore her own sexuality?
Yeah. Let's explore that.
Okay, great.
Because it's true. It's such a hard age. And it's not one age. It's, span of what, 7 years or so. But there's difference when you're, let's say, 12 versus when you're 18, 19, right? But ultimately, at the end of it, it's like these girls need to come out of their teenage years loving themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Loving yourself is such a big statement. Everyone's like, how do you do that? I found it's about getting closer to their authenticity, what authentically feels like their identity or what brings them joy. And that makes sense to them. Because if I just tell a girl like, you need to love yourself more, that's a hard jump.
How do I do that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And again, I bring it back to self-doubt and a lot of things like that. But in terms of, in terms of like also sex education conversations with teenagers and teenage girls specifically, what I found is a lot of parents are asking me about this right now, and there's so much discomfort. And what I usually say is, well, I think it's most important first to understand why this is uncomfortable for you to talk about. Go figure that out, because as long as you still have discomfort and a charge, it's going to be a hard conversation with your girl. And I say that again with compassion. I had tons of sexuality baggage to unpack. Every woman has a long history of baggage and shame to unpack. But I've done a lot of that work, and it is, oh my gosh, has it helped me? And I give, some questions in the book where to explore that. But it's definitely helped me come back to the girls without a charge, without judgment. And really, they tell me things that they definitely don't tell their parents.
I'm sure you probably see that a lot.
Yeah.
So you mentioned one thing about authenticity. And I want to talk about, because in the book you mentioned about being performative versus being authentic. And I speak about this a lot with social media and more in the parenting space, because, as soon as you put a camera on, it's performative, right? Like if you are acting out a scene, it's inherently performative. And so I talk about that kind of stuff all the time. But I want to know what you mean about that in the book.
Yeah. So it comes back to perfection and people pleasing. And what do we put out there to make it seem like we have it all together and that everyone's happy and, that they think you're happy and so on. And so, it could be considered performative Marley playing volleyball, to make everyone else happy, right? Like it shows up in all different ways. But, I like to say too, it could be as simple as a girl being like, It's fine.
Oh, that's the phrase. That is a phrase that we are all very familiar with. Exactly. No, it's good. It's fine. I'm good. I'm fine.
Yeah. And it's not fine. I assure you, I've been able to really get in there and find out what's going on. But it's this idea that they need to, that it's actually managing everyone else's discomfort, because no parent wants to see their kid in a hard place, struggling and having feelings. And a girl knows that and doesn't feel safe with it in expressing it, because what parents do is they're quick to fix. They can't sit with the discomfort. So they fix, offer advice, try to teach them something, which comes off as criticism for a girl. They feel judged by it. So it doesn't, even if it's subtle and a super well-intentioned parent, a girl sharing her feelings and her struggles and the things that are not fine often does not feel safe. And so, in the very first chapter is feelings. And it has a lot to do with how do we actually just listen and reflect and hold that space. You know, a girl will tell me a thing she's struggling with and I'll be like, oh my gosh, that sucks. I was like, that does sound awful. Yeah, that's not fine. And just so she even understands what's not fine and is fine, right? That we just need to get, she needs to learn what is and isn't fine too. And then I'll be like, then I'll try to use the exact word she used. I'll be like, that sounds frustrating. You know, if she said it was frustrating, I'll say, yeah, it is frustrating or disappointing. And I have a feelings wheel in the back of the book. Once they actually name the feeling that they're feeling, that's a relief. And that's usually all that needs to happen. Most times when I hold that type of space for girls without giving advice, without trying to fix it for them, they're like, oh, I feel so much better. No one understood. You know, and they feel so misunderstood.
They just want to be listened to. Sometimes, like, really just being there and giving them your undivided attention. Not that you're on your phone or that you're like half watching TV or, you know, you're on a work call or something like that. Giving them your undivided attention is what they're looking for.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And space for their feelings and not judgment, right? Like so many people judge teenage girls' big feelings as emotional and dramatic. And it's no, I actually think all human beings have big feelings. And as we move into adulthood, we get so good at containing and stuffing and repressing and making the world to the world, it seem like it's all fine. But that it explodes at some point. I've definitely had my own explosions. Like it will come out at some point.
That goes back to the performative thing.
Exactly.
We learn exactly how to navigate our feelings in this modern world of ours.
Exactly.
No, it's true. All right, I'm going to ask you two more questions. Ready? My first question is, what do you think is the biggest modern mom problem out there right now?
So is it for them parenting teenage girls or actually just for moms in general in a bigger society?
I'll let you choose. I'm flexible. Well,
I know. I feel like I'm going to kind of give two angles to this because I want to obviously address just the systemic societal narrative of like women, of moms just not having the care and the support. And just we could do so much better in supporting our moms, whether it's access to childcare and more equality in our homes and so on. So I never want to underestimate that struggle. and then to be more specific in the context of this conversation, I would say that one of the biggest mom struggles I see is, you know, a well-intentioned mom trying to connect with her daughter, but the daughter closed off and it's because she feels judged. I would say judgment is the key to everything. And the more you can take out any type of tone of judgment in your soul, you know, in a real honest way, then your connection and relationship will open up.
That's a good answer. I think that is true with parenting right across the board.
Yeah, exactly.
Try to put the judgment aside whenever you can. It's so important in building the relationship and a firm foundation with your kids.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Chelsea, tell us, where can we buy your book? Tell us where we can find you online.
So easiest would be Instagram at Chelsea Gooden. And then I have a website. I do speaking engagements about a lot of this, which is fun. I have a book tour happening. So I'll be putting up the book tour dates for March in there. And I, you know, I'm all about interacting with people if they reach out. So please feel free. I think this book's a really good book for book clubs for moms, like a mom book club, because each chapter is so digestible and quick and easy about a topic that even if you didn't have time to read the chapter that week, like you will still have something to say on the topic. I would be really happy when people reach out and engage about those types of things. Like we did it in our book club and ended up talking about shame, you know, something intense like that. Because there's all these different topics that you don't realize how much they affect your daughter, but they also affect your life.
Yeah. Or there are things that you sort of have repressed yourself. You know, like when you think about being a 15-year-old, like, yeah, shame comes up a lot. And it's not something that we talk about now because it's 25 years later, but it's definitely worth a conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for all the support.
Of course. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Modern Mom Probs. I hope you enjoyed our deep dive in today's problem with me, your host, Tara Clark. Join me next time when I'll be interviewing another great guest
and tackling another modern mom problem. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and a rating. As always, you could head over to Modern Mom Probs on Instagram and give me a follow, or check out my book, Modern Mom Probs, A Survival Guide for 21st Century Mothers, available online wherever books are sold. Well, that's it for today. See you next time, folks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.